Well, notice that I didn't have Pastor Mike introduce me. I am really glad that you're here. Obviously, it could be for several reasons. One is because, you know, you really wanted to see my wife and say hi to her and bye to her. And the other reason might be that you just wanted to make sure that we got out of here. And, or the other reason was because, you know, football is over, so why not go to church, huh? But whatever your reason is, I'm glad you're here. And you guys have been a tremendous blessing to us, whether you know it or whether you realize it or not. We have been blessed by this, our home church, for many years, and these months on furlough have been a tremendous blessing to us. Your pastor, both of them have been a real blessing to us, and you know, the one thing is, you know, we're on the same page. I don't have to worry about, you know, what they need from me or what they're thinking. They're good at communicating with us, all that, but they're not on top of us all the time, and that gives us the freedom to do what we need to do, and I really appreciate that. It makes life a lot easier for us at the same time that way too. And you know, we have been through many different experiences in the last year and a half or so, and I just wanted to pick a passage that would just kind of summarize a little bit of what we have been experiencing all the time that we have been here. And the Lord has been good, and He has blessed us in many different ways. And I just wanted to share some of that with you. So this message will be a little bit different because I'm we're going to be talking a little bit more about us than normally I wouldn't want to talk about us, but I wanted to share with you some of the things, highlight some of the things that the Lord has blessed us and how you are a part of all that. So I appreciate everything that the Lord has done. Why don't we go ahead and read the passage for today? I am going to ask Pastor Micah if he could just maybe from there. I don't think you need to come up here, but Psalm chapter 103, please. Psalm 103, if you could just read that for us.
Life from destruction and crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies.
Amen. Thank you. Why don't we have a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything that you do for us. We thank you for your blessings on our lives. We don't deserve everything that we have from your good hand, but yet you choose to bless us in spite, many times, in spite of our disobedience, our unfaithfulness, many times, despite our doubts. But you are so good to us. And we would just want to praise you. We want to thank you for who you are. And we want to focus on the fact that you are good to us. And we are commanded and we are supposed to praise you because you deserve all praise from us. So help us to focus on your word today and help us to walk out of here renewed because you have worked in our hearts and in our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know what? Today we're going to be focusing really on verses 1 through 3. And this particular psalm, we don't know exactly who wrote it. Most people think it might have been David, but it starts out and it ends the same way. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And that's what we're supposed to do. And then it tells us, in the middle of it, it tells us to remember God's benefits. Because as humans, it is easy for us to forget things. Am I right, wives? Don't men, don't we forget stuff? All right? Some of it is selective hearing, okay? Got to be honest with you, right? We have a tendency to forget. We have a tendency as humans to forget everything that God has done for us. We take what God does for us for granted. We think that we're supposed to get up in the morning. We think that we're supposed to go to work and everything should be great. We think that, we deserve your two or three lattes a day or whatever it is, okay? And we think we're entitled to some of these things. But yet, we don't deserve anything, but God chooses to do that for us. And this passage reminds us of how we are to praise God. And this passage, from start to finish, we are to praise Him. We often sing about it. We say, praise the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. But yet, some of us get frustrated when it snows. Okay? You know what? It's not my first choice. But you know what? It's good to see when it does snow because it's different. We don't get to see it a whole lot. So if it was up to my wife, we would be taking it on the plane with us. Okay? I'm just glad that we get to leave it here. Okay? For y'all to enjoy. But you know what? We are being created by God and we are commanded to praise Him, to thank Him because He has created us in a unique way. He created us with the talents and abilities that He wants for each of us to have for the only reason that we are supposed to praise Him for it. And this psalm is about Yahweh, the great I Am. And the question is, who is God to you? Because depending on what you think of God, that's going to affect how you and I praise Him. If we have a low view or a wrong view of God, we're going to do it incorrectly. Many of us are selfish, even in our prayers. Our prayers most of the time become a Christmas list. Give me, give me, give me, okay? But you know what? God wants us to thank Him, to worship Him for who He is, because He's holy, because He's just, because He's merciful, because He's forgiving, and so many other attributes that make up who He is. It talks about the unspeakable name of God. In Bible times, in the time of Abraham and so on and so forth, when you talked about the I Am, everybody knew who that was. And there was any doubt, that's what they were told. Tell them the great I Am sent you. And that's all we needed to know, and that's all we need to know, that God is in control of all things. The focus on the psalm is to worship our true and eternal God. You know what? And it helps us when we are worshiping God the way we ought to. It takes the focus off of ourselves, and we put it where it's supposed to be. We put it on God. You know, because when we focus on ourselves, it is easy to feel sorry for ourselves. It is easy to complain about what we have, what we don't have, what we should have, what we could have, what other people have and we don't have. But you know what? When we take the focus off of ourselves, we realize that we have it good compared to other people, maybe. My dad always told me that when you're feeling sorry for yourself, the best thing that you can do is go out and serve. Go and show others what God has done for you. And that's really what we need to do. We as believers, we ought to, there should be a joy, an overflowing joy that comes from a grateful heart. Because first of all, the psalm is to believers. So we ought to be overflowing with joy because we are saved. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's supposed to be an overflowing joy in your heart for God's salvation upon you, because we don't deserve it, but yet He made it available for us. And then verse 1 says, bless the Lord. You know, and at first, you know, I used to think, how are we going to bless the Lord? Isn't He supposed to bless us? But you know what? It's not talking about that. It's talking about kneeling, saluting, or greeting the Lord for who He is. It's a call for us to praise Him, not the other way around. And later in this psalm, we see that anyone, angels, His creation, so many other things, they are supposed to praise Him too. And we are supposed to pay honor and tribute to the only one who is worthy to have that from us. We are supposed to obey the leading of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives and follow His commands. The Bible says, you are my disciples if you do what? If you obey my commandments. The question is, are we obeying God's commandments? You don't have to turn there, but Psalm 105, 1 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Give thanks. Do we remember to give thanks? And I'm not just talking about breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Do we remember to give thanks to the Lord for the family that He has given us? Yeah, it's not a perfect one. There's no such thing. But you know what? He's given you exactly the family that you need to have, and so we need to be thankful for that. Psalm 106:1 says, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever. He is good. And, you know, He doesn't give us what we deserve. That's the mercy part. And Psalm 34:8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Taste and see. You know, use all your senses to realize that God is good. And realize that with every part of your body, you should realize that God is good to us. And then it says, O my soul, the author is actually talking to himself. Do you ever talk to yourself? I think if you're honest with yourself, you do. If you're like me, most of the time that I talk to myself, it's not good. It's like, you idiot, what'd you do that for, you know? But you know what? We need to talk to ourselves. We need to take a look deep inside of our soul to realize that we need to have a serious relationship with the Lord and that He wants all of our attention, not just on Sunday or on Wednesday, every day of the week. We need to realize that God knows everything about us. The Bible says that He knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. And that is a sobering thought. I always said that, you know, if we would have a little machine here that reveals what we're thinking, it would be great and it would be scary. Okay? Because we greet people, you know, and we're like, hey, how you doing? La, la, la. But in our mind, we're thinking, you idiot, you know. Okay? But you know what? Sometimes we need to realize God knows everything about us. And so we can't hide from Him, you know. All we need to do is look at Jonah. How did that work out for him? And we can't hide from God either. And we need to realize that we don't need to put on a show. We need to be genuine with the Lord and realize that there are things in our lives that we need to change so that we live a life that is honor and pleasing to Him. We also need to realize that the more we know God, the deeper our need becomes to obey and worship God. And so the question is, are we striving to know God on a more personal and deep level every day? We should. That should be our goal. The Bible tells us that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it penetrates to the deepest parts of our soul. And so that's what the Word of God does, and that's what we're supposed to read it. That's what we're supposed to study it to show ourselves approved. That's what we're supposed to put it in practice in our lives. Because it's the manual that God left. For us to know what God expects from us. We are to come to worship the Lord. Every time we come, we're supposed to come to worship Him in spirit and in truth. But yet, I know this never happened to you. How many times you're leaving to come to church and you get in an argument with your wife? You know, and then you come, you walk in the door, hey, praise the Lord, brother. But yet, you know, in the car you were upset with your wife or so on and so forth, or your kids, or whatever it is. But you know what? The Lord knows. We need to come prepared to worship the Lord in spirit, but also in truth. we are really supposed to come prepared to God's house, making sure that there's nothing, no unconfessed sin, that would hinder us from God doing what He wants to do in our lives. And that's what God expects from us, and that's why the Bible tells us if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Each day that we live, we are should be thankful for God's gift of salvation. Others need to notice that there is something different about us. When they look at you, when they look at me, do they see a difference in us? I always say, you know, we need to tell our face that we're saved. Because so many times, how you doing? You know, it's like God has done nothing good for you. And there's people that I know who they are. I'm not talking anybody specifically here, okay? But, you know, that I don't like to even say hi. Because I know when I do, the first thing that's going to come out is like, if it's too hot, it's too hot. If it's too cold, too cold. Whatever it is, it's nothing good. Nothing good. And so we need to realize that other people need to see in us that God has made a difference in us. And that we're thankful for whatever comes our way because we serve a God of the impossible. For Him, there's nothing impossible. So whatever it is that you're going through, you already have the victory if you have God in your life. The Word of God tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Is it? I hope so. It should be. And so that's the way God expects us to live. The Bible also tells us we are commanded to serve the Lord with gladness, with the right motive, with the right attitude. Are we serving the Lord that way? Oh man, I'm tired of being a deacon. I've been a deacon for the last 20 years. Can somebody else do anything in this church? Yeah, perhaps. But you know what? If God has put you in that position right now, that's what you're supposed to be serving. And last I checked, you have to be voted in, right? Okay, so if they voted in, you're supposed to serve, right? And so we need to realize that we have the honor and the privilege to serve the Lord wherever He placed us. And He expects us to do it with the right attitude and the right motives. It says, "In all that is within me, bless His holy name." I need to praise and bless the name of God with all that I am. Every part of me. Perhaps you have heard the phrase, "I am too blessed to be stressed." It's true. We should be. Because we have so much more than we deserve. And we shouldn't be stressed about that. You know, there's so many other things that we ought to be stressed about, but we're not. But we need to realize that we have been overwhelmingly blessed by the Lord. We have been created to bring glory to God, who He is and what He has done for us. We are commanded to share the good news of the gospel with others. Are we doing that? Because if you're saved, but nobody else knows about it, it's not doing us a whole lot of good, is it? We need to share the good news of the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Aren't you glad somebody took the time to tell you the good news of the gospel? Aren't you glad people didn't give up on you the first time they went to your house or wherever they talked to you and you and I rejected the gospel? So don't get discouraged if you go out on visitation and they don't accept your message. It's not your message, it's the message of God. We're supposed to be the ones carrying that message. We're not going to save anyone. The Holy Spirit of God is. We are supposed to be faithful, carrying the good news and telling others about Christ. And God is going to give the increase whenever He wants to give the increase. But He expects us to be doing that work. If God did not do anything else good for us the rest of our lives, we still need to praise Him and exalt His name continuously. That's the way it should be. For the child of God, praising God needs to be a way of life, not a once-in-a-lifetime occurrence. You know, it's like your relationship with your wife. You can't just say, "Honey, I love you, and if I change my mind, I'll let you know." Okay? They need to know every day that you love them. Whether you say it, whether you show it, whether you do something that tells them that. Okay? But that's the way it works. And I've only been married 3.5 years, right? So, But that's what God expects from us. We are commanded to be holy, set apart from sin, because He is holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. But yet, we often find ourselves trying to live one step in the world, one step in church. Doesn't work that way, okay? We need to do our best to live a godly and holy, separated life from sin. We have been forgiven and set free from the penalty and the power of sin. Christ paid the debt that we could never pay on our own. And for that alone, He deserves our praise. Then it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits." Many of us need to be often told to remember things. You know, oftentimes we have a tendency to forget. We have a tendency to complain. Remember the children of Israel? They were complaining the whole time. You know, they were complaining they had no food. God gave them food every day. Manna from heaven. And yet, then they were complaining that they had too much. And then whatever. And so, we have a tendency to complain all the time. Has anything good ever come from complaining? Not in my lifetime. And so we ought to do things a little bit differently. Some people find it very helpful to keep a journal on how God has answered prayer for you. That's a great idea. You know, it's good to see and look back to see how has God worked in the past. So that when you're in a similar situation and you tend to forget, look back and see how God worked for you in the past. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. We're the ones that change. And so we need to keep those things in mind. As we sung it, count your blessings, name them one by one. And if we actually did that exercise, we would find ourselves tremendously blessed. And then verse 3 says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." You know, and oftentimes people think, well, this is talking about healing. Yeah? It's talking about spiritual healing. You know, talking about our iniquities. What is that? That's our sin. Who's the only one that can heal our iniquities? God is. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And heals our diseases. Yes, we serve a great God, the great physician, the God that nothing is impossible for Him. So if He wants and if He chooses to, He could heal me from cerebral palsy, or He can heal you from cancer, or whatever it is that is ailing us today. But you know what? It's talking about our spiritual diseases. And those things that rob us from the joy that we should experience as a Christian. David said, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." Because when we're sinning, when we're doing what we want instead of what God told us that we ought to do, it is of course natural that we're going to forget because we're consumed with ourselves and not what God wants us to do. Some of the things that, you know, rob us from our joy, well, you know, how about pride? You know, we think that we are all that, but we're not. And for him that thinketh that he standeth, take heed lest he fall. and it can happen to any one of us. We need to realize God said, without me, you can do what? Nothing. We need God for everything. And so we need to realize and understand that. How about when we have envy because somebody else has what we have or whatever it is, okay? We're jealous of somebody. Well, when those things come into our lives, we get blinded and we can't see straight. And bad things happen when that happens in our life. How about selfishness? You know? The biggest revealer of a marriage, it tells you how selfish you are. Of course, it didn't happen to me. But you know what? It does tell you exactly how selfish you are. Because that's what marriage is. Two selfish people coming together. And you have to make it work. So a lot of times, you have to give so that this thing works. And she has to give so that it works too. And so that's the dynamic that that has. And we have to put the other above ourselves. That's what we're supposed to do as Christians also. So that the body of Christ functions the way it ought to. Not esteeming ourselves better than anyone else. But we need to have loneliness of mind. We need to be lowly. We need to be humbled. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will do what? He will lift you up. And so we need to do that. How about when we have anger and bitterness in our lives? Because something didn't go the right way, and we get upset at God because He took the loved one that I dearly loved, and maybe they got sick and passed away. And we are trying to figure out why that happened. Well, maybe that was the only way that God could get your attention or my attention. We never know what God is trying to do. How about when we get impatient with God? You know, oftentimes people come and they ask, you know, Pastor, what about this? Have you prayed about it? No. Well, what are you coming to me for? Okay, pray about it. Let the Lord do His work. Let Him do whatever He wants to do in your life. Be patient with the Lord. How about when we seek revenge on somebody? You know, because we didn't like what they said, what they did, the way they looked at us. You know? We seek revenge on somebody because of those things and many other things. But you know what? We don't need to be worried about that, because any injustice that happens in your life or mine or has happened or will happen, God is in control. He's going to take care of it in due time. We don't need to worry about those things. How about when we have hate for somebody in our heart? Well, you know what? When that happens, we start to pollute everything that we look at, everything that we touch, everything that we speak about is clouded with hate, so nothing's good is going to come out of that. How about when we have evil speaking? We tear somebody down to lift ourselves up and make ourselves look better. When we gossip about somebody, but yet when they do it to us, we get furious, right? Well, you know what? God expects a different behavior from His people. When we are feeling lonely, well, God told us, if you are His children, He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So if you're a child of God and you feel lonely today, it's because maybe you're not walking with God the way you ought to. Maybe you're running away from God. Maybe you're being disobedient to God. And so we need to realize He can forgive our iniquities. He can heal all these things that we just talked about. so that we can become better children of God, so that others can see that God has made a difference in our life. And then I wanted to share some of the benefits that every Christian enjoys. Well, we have salvation, obviously. The fact that we have been uniquely created by God. He created you and me the way He wanted us to be. Because He gave you talents and abilities and me talents and abilities so that we could use it for Him. And so we need to use it in a congregation like this. We need to serve, whether it's the choir, the nursery, or cleaning the bathrooms, or Sunday school teachers, or Awana workers, or ladies, meetings, or whatever it is for you. You need to serve where God has given you that qualification. We need to be grateful that we have experienced God's love because He loved us. We know what love is all about. The only reason we know how to love is because God loved us first. And He showed us that if you love someone, you ought to be able to give your life for that other person. He did it for us. Are we loving people? I hope so. And because He has forgiven us, we ought to forgive others the way that God has forgiven us. But yet, a lot of the times, our sentiment becomes, I'm not going to forgive you anymore. I already forgave you 5 times for the same thing. What did Christ say to the disciples? How many times are we supposed to forgive for the same offense? 70 times 7. 490 times. And it wasn't meant for you and I to count it. It was ridiculously high so that we would just say, yeah, I need to forgive every time. That's the way it ought to be. But oftentimes we're not willing to do that. We are to serve God because He does the impossible in us. God promised to supply all of our needs. Has He been faithful to you? He certainly has to me, and we ought to be grateful for those things. He told us that He was going to prepare a place for us, that where He is, we will be also. And so we don't need to worry about the future because we know what the future holds. And so the Bible just encourages us. In the meantime, we ought to occupy until He comes. And we also have eternal security. The Bible tells us that no one can pluck us out of His hand. And that in itself should give us the confidence to realize that we ought to do God's work. Because once people get saved, nothing that anyone else can do will take him away from God's hands. Now, those were some of the benefits that we experience as Christians. Well, here, some of the benefits that my wife and I have experienced this time on furlough. Well, first and foremost, the privilege of not being alone this time. Things are a lot easier in many ways. This time having a good wife and companion with me, and so that's what the Lord blessed me with, and so it's great to see what the Lord does. The progress that Nadia has made with her papers. She was able to get her visa, her social security number, her green card, and we're waiting to see. We need to wait a year from now to be able to be eligible for her citizenship papers. So we praise the Lord for what He has done. We've been able to do everything that we need to do. And when we first came here, they told us, you need to be ready to be here for 3 years. Well, I got a little nervous with that one, because it's kind of hard to tell your supporting churches, I'll be in the States for the next 3 years. What? But the Lord allowed us to get a visa for her, that whether we're here in the States or anywhere in the world, it counts as if we were here, because we're missionaries. And that's something that only the Lord can do. Then the remarkable progress that that Nadia has made with the English language. You know, they were worried in the mission side, and they wanted us to take like candidate school and whatever, and I'm like, oh. So we were able to work all these things out, but you know what? It's great to see what the Lord does, and she will continue to work on that, and the couple that we will be serving with, he's from Argentina, but she's from Massachusetts, so it might not be perfect English, might be like might be like a Boston accent or something, but at least it'll work. And you know what? The incredible safety that God has given to us. We were been able to travel 50,000 miles, visit 26 states, no tickets, no accidents, and we're still married. And so the Lord has been good, and you know, that's something also that I needed. I needed somebody to be able to drive all those miles for us and everything, and it's been a blessing to have. And you know, the provision that God has given to us, housing, vehicle, more financial support, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's tough when you're going to come to the States. My wife asked me, where are we going to stay? I'm like, what are we going to drive? I said, well, hate to sound cliche, but the Lord's going to provide. How do you think that went over? But you know what? He did. And it wasn't because I wasn't trying to make things happen. But sometimes it takes a little more time than you want to have some of these things. But the Lord was able to provide through this church and through the High Singers a place for us to stay for 7 months. You know, and at first it was like, you know, for her and for me, what do you mean they have a house for us to stay in? Like, who has a spare house? Well, I said, well, you know, honey, that's the way the Lord works. And then we went to Pennsylvania, and somebody gave us another house to stay in. And so that's just the way the Lord does it. And sometimes I hesitate to share some of these things, because some people are like, man, you stinking missionaries, you get everything. But you know what? We serve the same God. We serve a great God. And He promised that He was going to provide all of our needs. And so He does. He also provided new ministry partners for us. We thought that when we came here, we were going to find somebody on furlough. They were going to have to get Bible training, get support, do all the thing, and then go to the field. Well, unbeknownst to us, this couple on the field, in our field, in Uruguay. They said, look, rather than you guys, you know, going somewhere else and we're trying to do something here, that we're working with a national pastor and things for whatever reason didn't work out. And so they said, you want to work with us? And so that was just an answered prayer for what the Lord can do. The love and the encouragement and support that we have received from all of you, especially my home church, even Micah Potter. But it is great. It's great to be able to have a home church in which you can count on, in which you can be yourself, and they can tell you. Unless they ask me, I won't tell them what I need. But you know what? The Lord has a way of providing. And you were able to provide 4 new tires for us. And that's what got us through furlough as well. And so we're thankful for that. And this tremendous love offering for our vehicle project. We hope to get a vehicle once we get over there. It'll probably take a couple months because paperwork and all that stuff, red tape, you know how that goes. But, you know, the Lord provides, and we're thankful for that. And we hope to have that vehicle for the next 15, 20 years. And so that's what we hope to do. And we hope that you get to go visit us so we can go pick you up at the airport in the vehicle, right? And so you have an open invitation. You know what? We have enjoyed good health the entire furlough. We haven't been sick, and so it's just amazing because you are, you know, going from all kinds of weather to a different kind of weather, and people coughing and hacking and whatever, and you're shaking hands and kisses and whatever, and so it's just like the Lord's been good with all of it, and you know, my wife is hugging and kissing everybody, and we didn't get sued or anything, so that's good. So it's been good to see, and you know, the great food that we have experienced, many pounds extra that we take with us, that we need to concentrate on getting down when we get there. But you know what? Just the way it is. But that's just the way God's people are, you know. And I told my wife when we came here, I said, look, I'm just being honest with you. Take it or leave it. I said, but you might want to, like, get all the exercise you want now. I said, because when we go over there, I said, we're going to be in the car all these hours. We're going to be eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner with somebody, or all three of them. And I said, we're not going to be able to do all these things. And she looked at me like, yeah, right. Well, now she knows. And so so sometimes you have to live and learn. And you know what? But also the opportunity to spend quality time with family and with friends, and just the refreshing time that we needed also while we're here. Obviously, you leave family, you leave a ministry behind, and things happen that you can't control. And but you know what? The Lord continues to be good, and we rejoice on everything that we've been able to share with you while we're here. And then very quickly, some of the things that we can specifically pray for as we go back to Uruguay. Well, for wisdom, as we coordinate the sending of our things, you know, the buying of the vehicle, for safety as we fly back, and then that we would be able to find a perfect place for us to live in. We have all our stuff in storage. We have to grab all our stuff, move it into a new house, a new apartment, whatever it is that the Lord has in store for us. And we have a new community that we need to get to know, and a new church family that we also need to get to know. And so there's a lot of uncertainties right now, but the Lord has a way of clearing all those things up for us. You know, and that we might be able to fit into this new community. You know, obviously with my charming good looks and everything, you know, my disabilities and my gaiter and other things that are very unique, you know, they draw attention. People know who you are. But at least it gives you an opportunity to talk to people about the Lord, and that's what we're there for. That the Lord would give us favor in their eyes so that they would realize that we're there for a specific purpose. That we would have unity among the couple that we're serving with. Whether you realize it or not, sometimes the hardest thing to do for a missionary is get along with other missionaries. That's sad, but sometimes it happens that way. We need to pray that we would work on the same page. We talked about it already, and I said, look, I don't care if I'm number 1, 2, or 10. We're here for a purpose. And so if God wants you to be the leader, fine, I will follow. But we just want to be able to preach the word and to impact souls for Jesus Christ. Pray for wisdom as we coordinate different groups. We were able to buy the property that we were looking at. Right now, we're trying to get all the permits that we need to be able to start, like, remodeling the property. And for that, it's going to take a lot of time. Permissions are not easy to get. But then once we do that, then we want to have different teams come up with very specific skills. We're trying to break it down into like 3 or 4 different phases. I know the first thing that we need to do is get a new roof on top of the property. And so we need a team of people to come and do that for us and whatever. And so, you know, obviously as we know specifically what we need and what we want it, we'll put it out there for you so that if you're willing, able, and wanting to do that, you could share that with us too. So there's, in a nutshell, many different challenges that we have ahead. But we're thankful for what the Lord has done. We're excited about the future. And really, we couldn't do what we do without you, without your prayers. We're honored to be able to serve and represent you on the field. If you ever need anything, let us know. If we can help you in any way, please let us know too. But thank you for everything that you have done for us. Why don't we finish in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything that you do for us. We thank you for your goodness and faithfulness to us. We ask you that as we examine our life, that we would realize that we need to be much more grateful people than we are. We need to be faithful because you are faithful. We need to be holy because you are holy. Help us because we tend to wander, we tend to do whatever we want instead of what you want. So help us to be able to live a life that would allow you to give us the benefits that you want to give us. And so help us be faithful and help us to be alert because we know the devil is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So help us to realize that we need you each and every step of the way, and each and every day, no matter what, because we can't do it alone. We can't do it alone as individuals, and we can't do it alone as a church either. So help us to seek your face. Thank you for the people that you have put in our path to be a blessing to us this whole time that we were here, and we trust that we were a blessing to the people as well, and we pray that you would continue to work in us and through us. So we ask you all these things in Jesus' name.